Well, if you weren't here last week, we kicked off the new year with kind of just a little two-week mini-series that I titled Being Thankful. I mentioned that as we came into this new year, God had really put this challenge on me. He had challenged me to be someone who was thankful, to work at being thankful even despite the circumstances around me. Because as I mentioned last week, I had a challenging 2017, especially from a physical standpoint with many of my back issues, my back surgery, all the complications, as many of you know about some of them. And so it would be real easy for me to look back at 2017 and to complain and to be upset and to have a negative attitude. But God challenged me to be thankful, to realize that though we live in a fallen, broken world, though we face difficulties and challenges, we can't forget that we have a God who loves us, who cares about us, and who is right there with us in the midst of whatever we go through, in the midst of whatever we face. And for that, I'm thankful, because there were parts of 2017 that I know I could not have made it through if it weren't for the Lord being there with me, being by my side. But with Him there, with Him beside me, I was able to make it through, because with Him I can do all things, right? We can do all things through Him who strengthens us. We can overcome all the things that this world brings against us. And so because of this challenge to be thankful, I mentioned last week I felt led to kick off the year with this little series titled Being Thankful. Now, we started off the series last week as we read the story of the prodigal son, which is found in Luke chapter 15. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there this morning to Luke 15. Now, the story of the prodigal son, as we mentioned last week, it's about failure, but then it's about redemption. And the reality that we first and foremost should thank God for His grace and His mercy that He pours upon our lives in the midst of our failures. That even though we mess up, even though we fail, even though we turn our backs on Him at times, He still loves us. And He allows us to return to Him. He even desires for us to return to Him. But the thing is, when you look at the story of the prodigal son, there are two parts to this story, and often the second part of this story is overlooked. You know, there are two sons, and oftentimes we only pay attention to the one son, the prodigal son. But there is a second son in this story, which is why we're going to have a second part of this series. It's what we're going to look at today, this morning. And so before we dive into this scripture here in Luke 15, I want to just take a moment to kind of bring us up to speed on where we left off last week. There is a father in this message that has two sons. And one of the sons at the beginning comes to his father and asks for his share of his inheritance. He says, "I want it now. Give it to me now." And so the father gives it to him. And this son, he ends up taking in his inheritance and heading off, and he eventually squanders it all and loses all of his money, loses all of his inheritance, and he's poor, he's broke, and he ends up hiring himself out to work for someone to feed their pigs. Okay, so the son is now poor, the son is hungry, so hungry that it even says in the scripture that he just longed to eat the food that he was feeding these pigs. Okay, so that's the bottom of the bottom, right? But then he comes to his senses. And he realizes that even his father's servants eat better than he is eating at this moment and at this time. And so he decides to go back with this idea of apologizing to his dad and hoping that he will at least just let him work for him, be one of his servants out in the field. And so this is where I want to pick up the scripture this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, you can read along. We're going to read Luke 15, verses 20 through 32. This is what it says. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have, it's yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." We're going to stop there. As we end this section of Scripture, we see that the second son isn't very thankful right now, right? In this moment, he's not very thankful. And the sad thing is, he's not much different than a lot of us at times, failing to see all that we have to be thankful for. In preparing this week, I was reminded of a story that I heard a long time ago about a woman who was visiting some people who lived on a farm. And she noticed a pig limping in the backyard with this wooden leg. And so she asked the farmer, what happened to your pig?" The farmer said, and then the farmer said, "Oh, Betsy is a wonderful pig. One night the house caught fire. She oinked so loud that she woke us up and we were able to get the fire department here in time to save the house." The woman said, "Wow, that's really amazing." The farmer then continued, "That's not all. One day my youngest girl fell into the pond and Betsy oinked so loud that she got our attention and we were able to pull my daughter out of the pond and save her." The woman said, "That's really astonishing. But I still don't understand why the pig has a wooden leg." The farmer then responded, "Well, when you have a pig that amazing, that special, you don't want to eat him all at once." Yeah. Sorry, that's a dad joke, right? Here's the thing, and here's the reason I share that little illustration is, they obviously weren't very thankful for all that the pig had done for them, were they? If they were willing to eat this pig, they weren't very thankful for him. And the question is, how thankful are we for God? With all the things that He's done for us, all the amazing things, all the special things, how thankful are we for God, for the things that He's done for us. Last week, if you remember, our message was titled, Thank God. Thank God. And we looked at the interaction between the prodigal son and the father as he returned. And we pointed out how this story, it's a perfect example of how our Heavenly Father, how God cares for us. And we pointed out some great reasons of why we should thank God, of why we should be thankful. And as we pick up the story this week, they're celebrating. There's a celebration going on. And really, why not? Why shouldn't there be a celebration? It was a great day to celebrate, a great day to be thankful. The prodigal son had returned. The son that was lost was now found. And so the house was full. It was packed. Every seat in the house was filled as they were celebrating, except for one seat. There was one seat that was still empty. The seat right next to the prodigal. The seat for the older brother. It was empty. The good brother, as we might state here in this situation, the one who didn't run off, who lived by the rules, who stayed out of trouble, who seemed to do everything right, this son wasn't there. He was missing. He wasn't at the celebration. Now, we see in the scriptures that he was coming home after a hard day of work out on the farm. And as he arrives home, he hears this commotion. He hears this celebration going on, but he's unaware of what the fuss is all about. Now, I imagine it was quite a shock to find out that this party was for his little brother who had run off. But after seeing the response of the father, of how his father responded, you would think that the news might have encouraged this older brother as well. You would think that he too might have been excited to know that his little brother had come home. You can almost picture this heartfelt embrace, right, of the older brother just embracing his little brother, giving him a noogie. Brother, you've come home, you know? You can almost see that. But there wasn't any embrace. There wasn't that lovable noogie. There wasn't excitement or joy for the return of his little brother. Instead, it was just anger and resentment. Now, on one hand, from the world's perspective, right, who could blame him? Because while his brother was off living recklessly and squandering all of his money, he was at home working hard, taking on the responsibilities probably that his brother left behind. And so from this perspective, how could his dad throw him a party? What's this about? How could they celebrate all that he had done after the way he had treated his family? This little celebration was too much for the older brother. And his appetite was lost when he realized what was going on, and so he wanted nothing to do with it. He refused to go into the house. He refused to welcome his brother back. He refused to forgive and forget. It just wasn't something that was on his agenda in that moment and in that time. But his father sees him. He sees that he's not entering. He sees that that seat is still empty, and he goes to him to encourage him to come in and to join in the celebration. And this just seems to upset him even more. And it brings about a flood of emotions, not just towards his brother, but now towards his father as well. And he begins to share this resentment towards his dad for welcoming back his little brother. Now, I imagine that some of that frustration is that he fears that he'll have to share this inheritance with his brother again. So the last thing he wants to do is celebrate. But the father tries to console. We see here the father comes out to console his oldest son, and he reminds him that he's always had his blessing. You've always had my blessing. He says, and everything I have, it's yours. All of it's yours already. Whatever you want, it's yours. You have the freedom to it. Which brings about an interesting question. It causes me to ask this question: how can a person so blessed become so ungrateful? If anyone had reason to be thankful, shouldn't it have been this older brother? He had stayed home. He had been experiencing his father's inheritance every day. He was right there in the midst of it. And it's interesting to me that we can do all the right things. We can possess all the benefits of the Father and still fail to be thankful. And I know I've been there myself. And this interaction between the father and the older brother, we see someone who is being thankless instead of being thankful. And his response really tells us a lot about his heart. It tells us a lot about who he is. And I believe that there are three things that we can learn here about the older brother and this interaction with his father. Three things that will actually keep us from being thankful. In verse 29, he says, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you. Never disobey your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends." And the first thing I want to share this morning, the first thing I think we need to discover if we want to be thankful is this: we can't be performance driven. As Christians, we cannot be performance driven. You see, for the older brother, it was all about time served, behavior, entitlement. He felt his performance deserved something that the younger brother's performance didn't. And we have to be careful when we start to live life with this kind of mentality. Because when we live with this mentality, we start to go down the same road that the religious leaders in the New Testament went down. You see, they believed that they could attain righteousness through performance. That what they did and how they lived would get them into heaven. But the thing we have to understand is that there is nothing that we can do to attain righteousness through God. There is nothing that we can do to attain that righteousness on our own. As we said last week, we are all sinners. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. The only way we can attain righteousness is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's through Him, through His death upon the cross. And if we get caught up in the performance-driven life, we are going to be people who end up being thankless, like the older brother, instead of being people who are thankful like the prodigal son. The brother was performance driven. And you see, the thing I've learned about being performance driven is we start to then compare ourselves. And comparing will never allow us to be thankful, because there are always going to be people out there that have it better than us. There are always going to be people out there that have things that we think we deserve. And when we begin to compare, when we begin to be performance driven, we'll never be thankful. The older brother was performance driven. The older brother was caught on this comparison. And then secondly, if we continue in verse 31, the father tells him, "Everything I have, it's yours. It's all yours." And I think the second thing we need to discover if we want to be thankful is this, is we can't be blind to what we have. We can't be blind to what we have. The older brother had everything. It was all his, yet he failed to see it. The truth is, many of us miss our share of joy because we fail to see the blessings that we already have. As I was studying for this message, I came across a story about what some might call a lazy fisherman. The story goes like this. There was a rich businessman who was disturbed to find a fisherman sitting lazily beside his boat. "Why aren't you out there fishing?" he asked. "Well, because I've caught my share of fish for the day," said the fisherman. "Well, why don't you catch more fish than you need?" the rich man asked. "What would I do with them?" the fisherman replied. "Well, you could earn more money," said the impatient businessman, "and buy a better boat so you could go deeper and catch more fish. You could purchase nylon nets, catch even more fish, and make more money. Soon you'd have a fleet of boats and be rich like me." Then the fisherman asked, "Well, then what would I do?" "Then you can sit down and enjoy life," said the businessman. "Isn't that what I'm doing now?" replied the fisherman as he leaned back and looked out at the beautiful sea. I think the mindset of this businessman is a perfect analogy of the world that we live in, a world that is never content, that they're always wanting more. "Okay, I've got this, but now I need this." We lack this contentment, always wanting more. Like the older brother, we fail to see that we already have it all. We fail to see how much we have. You see, the younger brother learned true riches out of his poverty. As he hit rock bottom, he realized what it was like to have nothing. He learned true riches out of his poverty. And the question I think we have to ask ourselves is, what standard do we use in determining our blessings? What kind of standard are we using? One morning after a terrible snowstorm, a woman was outside shoveling her driveway. She stopped to wave hello to her neighbor, and he asked her, "Why isn't your husband out here helping you with this chore?" She explained that one of them had to stay inside to take care of the children, so they drew straws to see who would go out and shovel the driveway. "Oh, sorry for your bad luck," he said. The woman replied, "Don't be sorry, I won." Had some precious kids, I imagine. Blessings are really a matter of perspective, right? The man thought that, "Oh, you lost." No, I won. Blessings are a matter of perspective. Are we allowing ourselves to miss out on the blessings that God has given us because of our perspective? Are we failing to be thankful for what we have? Everything He has is ours. It's just a matter of us stopping and taking time to enjoy it. We can't allow ourselves to be blind to what we have, or we'll find ourselves like this older brother being thankless instead of being thankful. Now, the third thing that we can learn about the older brother from this interaction is found in verse 30. In this verse, he refers to his brother as "this son of yours," right? The third thing that I think we need to discover if we want to be thankful is this: we can't be relationally distant from the Father. If we truly want to be thankful, we cannot be relationally distant from the Father. When you look at this story, You can't help but think, man, this is a pretty special father, right? The way he treated the prodigal son, the way he welcomed him back. He's a pretty special father, a father full of love and compassion for his son. We talked about that last week. And because of that, you can't help but think, how could this son have a father that was so loving and so compassionate and yet still be so angry and so thankless? He's the son that didn't leave. He lived on the father's farm day and night, but somehow he failed to learn the heart of his father. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, do we have the heart of the Father? Are we relationally distant from the Father? How is our relationship with Him? Is it just head knowledge? Or do we know Him? Are we living out the heart of the Father in our own lives? The story concludes in verse 32 with the father saying, "But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and is found." The father's heart was full of joy and excitement because his son, the prodigal son, had returned. But the older brother's heart was different. It was not the same. And here's the thing. If we're unable to share in the joy of the Father's heart, then something's definitely wrong with us. There's something wrong with us if we can't share in the joy of the Father's heart. Do we have the Father's heart? Do we have the heart of the Father? Because the reality is it all comes back to our relationship with Him. What is our relationship like with the Father? 1 John 4:7-8. I have it for you to see as I read it this morning up on the screen. It tells us this: "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." This is a powerful scripture. And I really believe that this scripture is a good gauge of where we're at relationally with the Father. The older son lacked thankfulness because he didn't have the love that his father had. Verse 8 of 1 John is one of those verses that just cuts to the truth. It's one of those verses that we don't want to look at sometimes, because it says, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." If we're relationally distant from the Father, then we're going to be lacking His love. We're going to be lacking His heart. And if we're lacking His heart, then we aren't going to be people who are content. And we're not going to be people who have a heart of thankfulness. Let me finish this morning with one last story. A man became envious of his friends because they had larger and more luxurious homes. So he listed his house with a real estate firm, planning to sell it and to purchase a more impressive home. Shortly afterwards, he was reading the classified section of the newspaper and he saw an ad for a house that seemed perfect. He promptly called the realtor and said, "There's a house described in today's paper that is exactly what I'm looking for. I would like to go see it as soon as possible." The agent asked him a few questions about the ad and then replied, "Well, sir, that ad you're referring to, it's your house." Are we like the prodigal? who is content because we understand what we have. We understand and we're thankful for it. Or are we like the older brother who in our arrogance has become blinded to our own achievements? Like we talked about last week, we have so much to be thankful for. And it's our responsibility to open our eyes and to see it. My prayer is that we are people that learn to be thankful. You know, when God brought this idea of being thankful to me this year, I was reading a blog or something. I can't even remember if it was just an article or a blog. But it was talking about being thankful. And one of the questions on it was, how? How do we then be people who are thankful? And out of that is really what these two messages came out of and what led me to this scripture and to share what the Lord put on my heart to share. Because in that it said, if we want to be thankful, there's a few things. Number one, we can't compare, right? We can't be comparing ourselves to others because we won't be thankful. And it goes with this idea of being performance-driven, looking at others, making sure that we're better than them or that we've done more than them, and why don't we have what they have? It also said we can't be people who complain all the time. If we're complaining, our heart can't be thankful. And it kind of goes with just this reality of being blind to what we have. And then the third thing was that we need to thank God. Because anything that we have to be thankful for is because of Him. And that's where that message last week came from. And just the reality of we can't be relationally distant from the Father. And it was just out of that that this message came. The Lord brought me to this place. And I want to be someone that is making sure that we're not comparing ourselves. That we're not complaining. And that we're taking time to thank God and to understand who He is. And as we begin to do that, we begin to have these thankful hearts that are focusing not on the circumstances, not on the difficulties that we're in, not that, wow, their life seems better than mine. No, that we are in the will of God and we're doing our best to serve Him and love Him. And for that, we can be thankful. That's God's desire for our life. And as we head into this new year, my encouragement is that we are people that are being thankful. Like the prodigal son, not thankless, like the older brother. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your hand upon our lives. We thank You for, Lord, the many blessings that You pour out upon us that sometimes we fail to see, Lord. That we fail to see all that we have to be thankful for. And I pray that as we head into this next year, as we reflect upon last year, Lord, that we would just be able to see Your hand upon our life, Lord. To see the many ways that You have blessed us, Lord. To not compare ourselves to others. To not look around and complain, Lord, but to continue to thank You for who You are and what You've done for us, Lord Jesus. And so we just we give You these messages these last few weeks, Lord. May You allow them to challenge us, encourage us, penetrate our hearts so that we can be people who are being thankful, Lord. That as we walk through our day, we're thanking You. We're giving You glory. We're living the lives that You've called us to live, Lord. That we are close to the Father, growing in You, knowing You with Your heart. With Your love, Lord. And so we thank You for these things. We thank You for Your Word. We give all of them to You today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I hope you are encouraged by these messages, remembering that whether you sit on the side of the prodigal or you sit on the side of the older brother, either way, we have things to be thankful for. And that we would understand God's love for us and the depth of that love. Let me just share one last little illustration as it just came to me. Because you look at a couple, and that's what you got. You got the prodigal over here, and you got the good older brother who did everything right. That's my wife, Stacy, okay? You know, I messed up, I screwed up, I did a lot of stupid things, I was a punk, and behind the scenes, even when people thought I was good, I wasn't good, okay? And over here you had the perfect girl, and who was told that she was the perfect girl time and time again. You see, I understood how bad I was. I understood my mess ups. And that's why I was like, God, I need you. Now, my wife was raised in church and she loved the Lord, but she will tell you it wasn't until she was a little bit older that she began to realize, well, wait, I'm not the perfect girl that everybody says I am. Everyone says, oh, you're so good, you're so good, you're so good. Oh my goodness, I wish I had a daughter like you, you're so amazing. And it's great, and you would want a daughter like her, let me tell you, okay? She was the perfect daughter for the most part. But the reality is, it took for her to realize later on in life that I'm no different than my husband, though, because I am still a sinner saved by grace. And we have to come to that realization of who we are. Like I said, the prodigal understood because of the depth of his poverty. He understood his blessings. And sometimes, even as Christians, we don't realize the blessings that are bestowed upon us because, well, hey, we've been good our whole life. Like, we would have got into heaven either way. And again, that's performance-driven. That's thinking about those things. We are all sinners saved by grace and coming to that place of knowing that if it weren't for the Lord, all of us would be heading into a place that we don't want to go, right? But because of the Lord, even people like me can head to a place that we want to go. Amen?